round inside his skull.
Keep up or you'll get left behind, Red!
Bossen shouted at the little R3. Its stable three-legged design had kept it on its feet during the blast, but it was having difficulty pushing its way through the crowd.
Forget it!
Han yelled. Bossen followed him, a grin on his face, but his skin flushed a deeper green with fear.
That last one was close, eh?
He said, trying to make the words light. As if in answer, another ripple of blasts echoed through the corridor, though they sounded farther off. Scarlet finally reached the side door to the hotel and burst into the conference center's garden space. All three of them looked up. Even something as vast as a Star Destroyer was too small to be seen clearly in orbit, but the ships could be spotted as the origin points of the massive laser and plasma blasts that were streaking out of the sky and pounding the planet. A barrage of fire hit the mountain next to the conference center a dozen times, blowing starship-sized chunks of rock off the mountainside and raining them down on the buildings below.
They appear to be upset, poor lambs,
Bossen said. Even he seemed stunned by the level of violence the Empire was raining down on them. A few mountaintop batteries fired up into the air, golden plasma fire leaving trails of black smoke behind them as they rose.
Through here,
Scarlet said, and tugged Han after her into a side entrance in the conference center. Bossen tagged along, still staring up at the sky with a dazed look. Han recognized the massive meeting room where Leia had delivered her big speech. It was crowded with fleeing conference members who'd all had the same idea he'd had to stay off the street. He hoped Leia was already off the planet. As they rushed through the room and down the long corridors that led to the docks, the ground shook. Blast after blast falling from the sky. The air in the city stank of smoke and dust. Over the top of the defense alarm and the shriek and rumble of bombardment came new sounds. The throb of starship engines and the scream of supersonic flight.
Everybody's leaving,
Han said.
Good,
Scarlet replied, and pulled him down a side corridor he didn't recognize.
Underground shortcut to the docks.
They'd gone a few hundred meters through the new hallway when they reached a massive metal shield door, closed and locked.
Good shortcut,
Han said, and started looking for another path.
Were you planning for this?
Just watch my back,
Scarlet replied, and pulled out her compact cutting torch. Bossen turned to face the corridor behind them and drew his blaster. He held Moss's case close to his chest with the stump of his wrist.
No reason to shoot anyone,
Han said, pushing the man's arm down.
Everyone left is just trying to get away like we are. Unless you can shoot down a Star Destroyer with that thing.
Almost there,
Scarlet said over her shoulder, her face framed by the bright blue glow of the torch.
Might want to...
Han started, and then time seemed to skip. He found himself lying on his back in the corridor, grit and small bits of stone covering him. The hallway was filled with a cloud of dust that stung his eyes when he opened them.
He coughed uncontrollably for a few seconds, though he could barely hear himself over the renewed ringing in his ears.
They're getting closer!
Bossen yelled at him, sounding like a very small voice a long way off. The Mary Allen was climbing to his feet, brushing off the rubble that covered him. Scarlet was on her knees by the door, patting the floor to find her cutting torch.
Almost there,
she repeated, her voice shaky but loud. She picked up the torch and resumed her work. Something shadowy moved toward them in the dusty corridor. Han reached for his blaster and came up empty. There was nothing in his holster. He frantically searched the floor for his weapon. By the time he found it, Bossen was saying,
"We'll all be damned. Red made it."
The little R3 rolled to a stop a few feet away and trilled out a series of notes at them.
"Great,"
Han said.
"Now everything's just fine."
"These things are handy,"
Bossen said reproachfully. Then to the droid he said,
"Help get this door open."
The droid rolled up next to Scarlet, and soon there were two bright blue points of light cutting through the locks.
"See?"
"I stand corrected,"
Han said. A few moments later, the door pinged with a metallic snapping sound. Han and Bossum grabbed it and pulled it open. On the other side was a long access corridor for the conference center's infrastructure. Conduits of heavy cabling, ducting, environmental systems, and piping covered the walls. Another barrage shook the hallway, raining down dust from above. A pipe buckled in the corridor ahead, and steam began pouring out into the space.
"Time to go," Scarlet said, and trotted off down the hallway.
Han followed, still wondering where Leia was. Surely she'd been in one of the first ships out. They'd given her enough warning. If something had gone wrong, if she was somewhere in the bombardment... Han tried to imagine explaining to the Rebel Alliance that he'd left her behind, that she'd died on Kiamar. Worse, explaining it to Luke. Or facing himself in the morning, knowing he could have tried, but hadn't. He suppressed a shudder and kept running.
"Scarlet!"
he shouted.
"Leia's already gone, right? She's left the planet?"
"I hope not,"
Scarlet called back over her shoulder.
"What do you mean, you hope not? Why do you hope not?"
Scarlet ran, and he followed. The service corridor ended at a long flight of steps up, and a door out onto the flight tarmac. Outside, they could see the steady stream of ships launching from the docks, desperately trying to get off the doomed planet. As they emerged from the stairwell, a heavy transport lifted slowly off the field, just starting to get some speed. A turbolaser blast nearly cut the ponderous ship in half. It twisted sideways, trailing black smoke from the mortal wound in its side, its engines rising in a dying scream as the ship crashed back down and exploded into a rain of shrapnel.
"Gods be with us,"
Bossum said, face paling almost to yellow as he watched the ship die. Han took off at a dead run toward the Millennium Falcon's dock. Scarlet kept close behind him, huffing and puffing. Bossum coughed and lumbered, staring up at the sky, gape-mouthed at the destruction falling from on high. The R3 droid trailing along and burbling to itself in distress. Han reached the door to the dock and slammed through it. The Falcon sat in her berth, untouched by the incoming fire. Han thought again of mystical energy fields and said a quiet thank you to whoever or whatever might be looking out for them. At the bottom of the crew ramp, Leia was strapping a belt around her waist, a heavy blaster hanging on her hip. She changed out of her diplomatic gown into brown pants and a white shirt.
"Oh, good," she said. "Now I don't have to go looking for you."
"Looking for us?" Han said. "Listen here, princess. I got the data, escaped the attack, and got Scarlet back to the ship just fine."
"Oh," Scarlet said. "You're my hero. We should leave now."
Another blast rocked the building, and the metal girders of the dock creaked with the shock.
"Yeah," Han said. "That's a really good idea."
Scarlet ran up the ramp, with Bossum and his droid close behind. When they were gone, Leia put her hand on Han's arm and said,
"Thank you."
Han looked for the mockery in it and didn't find any.
"You're welcome. Now let's all get off this planet while there still is one."
He ran inside the ship, straight into a Wookiee hug. Chewbacca growled at him reproachfully.
"Missed you too, buddy. Let's get her off the ground."
Chewbacca had the ship warmed up and ready. It was a matter of seconds before they were strapped in and climbing through the burning air.
"Put all power to the forward deflectors until we get out of the atmosphere,"
Han said.
"Then angle the rear deflectors until we make the jump."
Chewbacca howled at him.
"Why don't we have rear deflectors? I told you to fix that."
The Wookiee growled back.
"Yes, I know there was time pressure, but you have to..."
Chewbacca barked at him once.
Okay, buddy, I hear ya. Except now we have to fly through an Imperial blockade while somehow not getting shot in the backside."
Leia, sitting in the chair behind him, leaned forward and said,
"What? No rear deflectors? You really should have fixed that."
"No time,"
Han said, not looking at Chewbacca.
"He was busy."
"What can we do to help?"
Bossum asked. He and Sunim were holding on to the hatchway into the cockpit.
Well,
Han said, angling the Falcon's flight path up through a gap in the bombardment.
I could keep us away from the heavies, mostly. They're more interested in blowing Kiamer into dust. But once we get out of the atmosphere, TIE fighters are going to be swarming all the ships that are leaving.
Sounds right, Bossen said. Nice to have lots of company for that. One ship of many, so to speak.
Right. So I just need you guys to keep the TIEs off us long enough to make the jump. Keep them from getting a clean shot on our hindquarters.
The Falcon's got those turrets,
Bossen said.
Right again. You boys know how to use them?
Believe we can work it out,
Bossen said with a grin.
Great, then get in there. The plan is...
Kill everything,
Sunim said.
Got it in one.
Chapter 22.
Energy bolts streaked across the stars. Han felt the ship resisting under his control, rising and falling as the shields bled energy into thrust. The freighters, fighters, and tugs boiling up from the planetary surface mixed with the Imperial fighters, swirling and dancing like snowflakes in a blizzard. The tactical computer flickered and stuttered, unable to keep track of all the different points of motion.
We've got a wave at your two,
Leia warned. Han looked over. Four TIE fighters in tight formation spun down from the nearest of the destroyers, dogging an ancient cruiser as it struggled up from Kiamer's burning exosphere. Han angled the Falcon to keep them in front of him, protecting the unshielded rear of the ship.
Bossen!
Solo!
Let's see if we can help that cruiser out.
How long until we're clear to jump?
Scarlet shouted from the lounge.
We're not clear to turn around out here,
Han shouted back.
We'll try getting to the other side where we can find some space.
Us and everyone else trying to get off that poor rock.
The Falcon screamed and shuddered. Chewbacca howled in protest and rage.
What did he say?
Bossen called from the turret.
He said shoot them before they shoot us.
Han shouted back.
Thank him for the pointer.
The Bothan's despairing wail came from the lower turret.
Could someone see what's wrong with Sunim?
Han snapped.
I'm on it,
Scarlet said, heading out. The blast from the Falcon reached the attacking TIE fighters, and two of them peeled off, screaming toward Han like predators falling upon prey. He pulled the ship down, whipping it to spin around them as they passed, keeping his forward shields toward them. A stream of blaster fire poured from the turrets, brushing against one of the TIE solar arrays and turning the little ship into a ball of ions and fire. Far above, the triangular body of a Star Destroyer loomed. Wide, glowing bolts fell from the destroyer's belly toward the planet, shearing away mountains and vaporizing seas.
He's coming around, Han,
Leia said.
Han? He's coming around! Han!
Almost too late, he saw which of the dozens of ships before him she was talking about, and he yanked the controls to compensate. The Falcon groaned under the strain. The lower turret spat out fire, and the attacker died.
All right, everyone, hold on!
Han called over his shoulder.
I'm getting us out of here!
He took the tactical computer down. It was too swamped to be useful anyway. With the engines at full, he angled the ship up through the wide swirl of enemies, his sights on the stars beyond them.
Han, old friend,
Bossen called, his voice tight and nervous.
What is it you're planning here?
Just keep shooting,
Han said through clenched teeth. The Falcon rose through the barrage of energy bolts and debris. The Imperial destroyer grew larger, swelling until it almost filled the screen. Chewbacca groaned.
I know,
Han said.
But they've got more weapons on the fighters, and they won't shoot at us if missing means damaging their own.
I hope,
he didn't add. The defensive batteries on the Star Destroyer opened up, and Han twirled the ship, dancing between the blasts. It wasn't even thought now. The Falcon was an extension of his body, and he moved through space as if he were running through a battlefield. Chewbacca barked once.
Get ready,
Han said. Another 1,000 kilometers. At their speeds, it wouldn't take long. A tight grouping of Y-Wings shot past him. Neither Imperial nor Rebel. Just some poor guys who'd been attending the wrong conference. They drew some of the Star Destroyer's fire. He gritted his teeth, and they were past. The battle behind them, where a stray shot could sail through the missing deflectors and melt the hull to nothing. He slammed his palm on the control panel, and the stars became streaks. The death rows of Kiamer vanished behind them, and he sank back in his chair. Scarlet, Bossin, and his Bothan pilot were howling with delight, as if getting away was a victory, as if they'd won something. And still, they had gotten away. When he looked over his shoulder, Leia was staring out the screen. The light of hyperspace glowed on her skin. The darkness in her eyes was only partly from their color. There was something more in them, too. Something deeper.
That was why you didn't just tell them all, Han said. You knew Hunter Moss was coming, and that the Empire would come after him. If you'd warned them all before he showed up, everyone would have left before the battle started.
She turned to look at him directly. He saw that the words had stung her, and that she was trying not to let it show.
I did what I could. Told who I could. If I'd sounded the general alarm, Hunter Moss would have run too, and the Empire would have had another chance to catch him. We would have lost everything. No one's responsible for those deaths but the people who pulled the triggers, she said, her voice hard. And then she softened, looked down. It's a war, Han, and I'm the one trying to end it.
No, they're trying to end it too, Han said. You're just arguing over the terms.
Chewbacca chuffed to himself and moved as unobtrusively out of the cockpit as a mountain of muscle and fur could manage. Leia's gaze didn't leave Han.
Are you saying I should have cleared the way so that they could have captured Moss and kept the data out of our hands? Because I can't see how that would have ended well.
I'm not saying that. In the grand scheme of war, you did what you had to do,
Han said.
But
grand schemes can excuse a lot of bodies.
That's not fair.
What are you two on about, then?
Bossin asked, poking his head in the cockpit.
It's time to celebrate! We've lived to see another day! You can't complain about that.
Han got up, pushing past Bossin. There were too many people on the Falcon. Bossin, Scarlet Hark, Sunim, the R3 droid, Leia, Chewbacca, him. It made the ship feel close and tight, and he didn't like it. In the lounge, Scarlet was looking at a long gash on Sunim's right arm. The Bothan blinked as Han brushed past them. He heard Leia and Bossin Rey behind him. He ignored them all. Leia was right, and he hated it. The Empire had already shown it was willing to destroy planets filled with innocent people in order to prove a point. As he passed through the ship, he found himself going back through every time he'd gotten out of trouble by making the jump to light speed. All the fights he'd avoided. All the times he could have died and didn't. If Scarlet's information was correct, and the Empire got hold of this artifact, that would stop. Not just for him, but for everyone. All the ships boiling up off Kiamer, or Herodin, or Tatooine would have no place to go. And the Empire could pour in wave after wave of fighters until whoever the Emperor had decided was his enemy that week was nothing but fused carbon and a few volatile chemicals. The plastoid case was in Bossin's quarters. Han scooped it up. It wasn't huge. It was hardly a weight in his hand. He carried it back to the lounge and put it down on the Dejarik table. The others were all around. Leia and Scarlet stood at the door to the cockpit, Chewbacca in the background between them. Sunim and Bossin sat on the couches. Bossin's smile could have meant anything.
We did our part,
Han said, thumbing the case's latch.
Let's see if it was worth it.
The case clicked and slid open. The smell of sugar and lemon filled the air. Han leaned close. The cake was a dusting of bright yellow crumbs and gobs of frosting on a small presentation plate of tempered glass.
Bossin,
Han said carefully.
What is this?
Leia stepped up beside him, looking down. She made a small sound in the back of her throat.
Ah, Moss must have been going to meet with Enis Malivoy. He's a buyer for Bonadin Heavy Industries.
And?
Han said.
And he likes lemon cakes, Leia said.
Han put his fingertips to his eyes.
Bossin, what did you do?
Failed to save a lemon cake, apparently,
Bossin said lightly.
This was supposed to be the data,
Han said.
You blew the job! You said you knew where the information was. Now what have we got? A world died for this?
No, not so hot nor so hasty. I never said it was in the case, did I? That's a conclusion you drew on your own. Though, in fairness, I did encourage a certain misunderstanding.
Scarlet made a sound between a cough and a laugh. Leia looked over at her. Sunim looked from one woman to the other, his ears canted forward in confusion.
It's in the R3,
Leia said. Bossin clapped his remaining hand against his leg.
Ha ha ha! Now that is a smart woman, my friend. Sees right to the heart of things. Most people don't know how easy it is to hide data in an R3 unit.
I know,
Leia said.
Well,
Bossin continued.
I guessed he...
Thanks for that,
Han said.
Chewbacca, would you please escort our friend to the airlock? He's walking home.
Ah!
Bossin said, holding up his palm.
Now, we had an agreement, boyo. And I've kept my part.
Han felt Leia's dark eyes on him. The truth was, he wasn't sure he'd been joking about throwing Bossin out into space. His head felt thick with distress and exhaustion and the aftermath of the battle. He smirked, clapped the Mirialin on the shoulder, and left it at that. Leia knelt beside the little red droid. The ratbird dropping still streaked its finish. The R3 squealed and squeaked.
It's all right, Leia said. I've done this before. It isn't going to hurt at all.
A cascade of sparks flew from the droid's chest panel. Its indicator light dimmed and brightened again. A beam of light shot out, and the rough, jittering hologram of a man appeared standing on the floor in front of the R3. He was younger than Han had expected, with flowing shoulder-length hair the color of honey, and eyes that would have looked at home on a snake. His smile was obsequious and greedy. Another hissing spark, and Galassian came alive. He pushed his hair back from his face. His grin was broad, and his eyes seemed to flicker in a way that made Han think of fevers. A pair of floating round droids hovered, one over each of the man's shoulders.
Master, it is after much hard work and many weeks of effort that I bring this news to you. I was not certain, but now I am pleased to say that our fondest hopes are achieved. With this new toy I've found, your rule will be eternal and utterly, utterly absolute.
Leia took in a deep breath. Her chin lifted in defiance.
She looked beautiful that way.
Han reached up into the access panel. The relay under his fingertips was cold, the power light dull and dead.
Still nothing,
he shouted. Chewbacca's roar rose from the flooring.
I didn't say it would be,
Han said.
But I'm telling you, there's no power right now.
The Wookiee's grumbling faded to near inaudibility. Han let himself fall back, massaging his hand. The rear deflector shields were proving harder to repair than he'd hoped, but he and Chewie were making progress. If he'd been able to reroute more of the power from life support, it would have been faster.
which brought him back again to the idea of throwing Bossin out the lock. It was probably the smart thing. He didn't have any illusions about the bounty hunter's newfound allegiance. As soon as the opportunity arose, and it looked like there was even a little bit of profit in it, Bossin would have put a hole through Han's chest and be glad that he'd done it. The truth was, Han had killed people he liked more for less reason. It was the cold-bloodedness of it that escaped him, or that he told himself escaped him. He wondered whether if he hadn't snapped at Leia about her tactics on Kiamer, he'd have had an easier time doing the obvious thing with Bossin. He hoped it would have been just as hard.
Captain Solo,
Scarlet said.
You have a minute?
Sure, Han said. You got the whole thing decrypted, then? She nodded.
How are the repairs?
We're getting there. Chewbacca howled and muttered. Scarlet laughed. It's not as bad as he says, Han said. We'll have full power to the deflectors before we jump again. The meeting was in the cabin Scarlet and Leia were sharing. With him added in, there almost wasn't space. But the door closed and sealed, and Bossin and Sunim weren't likely to overhear anything they said.
What have we got?
Leia asked, as Han tried to find a comfortable way to squat by the bunks. It was strange being in his private quarters with the two attractive women. In other circumstances, he'd have been turning down the lights and pouring drinks. Now he just felt awkward.
More than I expected,
Scarlet said.
It's coordinates to the system and data from the sensor sweeps. But Galassian also made some exploratory surveys on the planet's surface. Since the Kakaibak died out, their planet's pretty much gone to ruin. Their old cities drowned in swamps and fallen into the oceans. It's not a hospitable place either. Pretty much anything that isn't predatory is poisonous.
Lovely,
Leia said.
It gets better. The Kakaibak left behind an old defense grid. It's been unattended so long, it's mostly dead. But every now and then, part of it becomes active enough to throw off jumps going out of the system. That's how Galassian found the place and decided it was something more than a swamp planet. The system that the defense grid uses to disable hyperdrives is in a barricaded temple. Galassian has a rough map of the place.
All right,
Leia said.
He's found the controls for the device, and he started working out a translation for them.
He has a manual for it already? Han asked.
The beginnings of one,
Scarlet said.
I'm going through it now. I don't really understand most of it, but I've spent a lot of time studying him, so some of it makes a little sense.
That's a lot farther along than I'd hoped,
Leia said.
I know. If he's right, the Empire's on the edge of controlling hyperspace jumps for ships, the hyperwave relays for information, pretty much everything that uses hyperspace.
That's bad, Han said. That's really bad.
The good news is that getting to the device is a royal pain in the butt and viciously dangerous, so Galassian's being very careful. The bad news is it's a pain in the butt and dangerous.
And I assume it's in some totally secluded part of the galaxy that's going to be difficult to reach, too, Han said.
Actually, that part's not so bad,
Scarlet said.
It's near some of the major lanes. No one's used it because there's nothing there, and ships kept disappearing when their jumps went wrong.
Han narrowed his eyes. A tingling sensation started crawling up his neck.
I think it's safe to assume the Empire has exploratory and scientific teams in the system already,
Scarlet said.
I assume they have fighter escorts, but I don't know if they'd risk putting in heavy military presence until they knew the device was secured and inactive.
Where is it?
Leia asked.
Fifth planet of the Cymarti system.
Leia frowned.
I've heard of that system,
she said.
Why have I heard of that system?
Because, Han said. You just sent Luke there.
Chapter 23.
They drifted through the Trundalki system, an old smuggler stopover Han had used any number of times. He'd chosen it because it was a relatively short jump from Kiamer, and because he could be pretty sure no Imperials would be waiting on the other side. The only planet in the system that had any life on it was unimaginatively named Trundalki 4, and was nothing more than a black market shipyard surrounded by several dozen bars and gambling dens. The Imperials had never bothered with Trundalki because there was nothing there the Imperials wanted. That was how to keep going. Keep your head down, move fast, and when people looking to shoot you showed up, be somewhere else.
Red Wave, this is Pointer. Come in, Red Wave,
Leia said for the 100th time. Han could hear the words echoing down the corridor from her station in the cockpit. Red Wave was the call sign for the escort wing Wedge Antilles was commanding. And so far they weren't answering. That could mean a lot of things. Maybe they were out of range of a hyperwave relay, or having comm failures. It might mean they were too close to an Imperial listening post and were maintaining radio silence. It could mean they were dead. Or it could mean they had jumped into the Cymarti system and been trapped by the Empire's new hyperspace nullifier. Han tried to imagine being trapped in the same star system for his entire life, and failed. He headed to the lounge to get away from Leia's pleading, but her voice followed him like the muttering of a ghost. Scarlet and Chewbacca sat at the Djarik table with Bossin's dim-witted Bothan thug and pilot. Scarlet was in the process of annihilating Sunum's side one piece at a time. Chewbacca watched and laughed at each new kill. The Bothan growled and counterattacked ineffectually. Within minutes, his last piece was gone, and he stormed away from the table in a huff.
You can try Chewie,
Han said, taking the Bothan's place at the table.
He's not bad.
Scarlet laughed and turned off the board.
I'd like both my arms right where they are, thanks.
Chewbacca cocked his head to one side and whimpered at her.
I know you wouldn't hurt me, sweetie,
she replied, patting the Wookiee's huge arm.
Han and I are bantering. It's what you do when you can't have a grown-up conversation.
Hey, Han said. Are you saying I'm not a grown-up?
Is that what I was saying?
Scarlet bounced to her feet, gave Chewbacca one last pat, and wandered off toward the crew quarters, whistling. Chewbacca growled and narrowed his eyes.
I did not run her off.
Han leaned back in the chair and put his hands behind his head.
I think she's worried Leia will catch the two of us together.
Chewbacca bared his teeth in a Wookiee grin, then broke into a long, honking laugh.
Laugh it up, but I know women. You didn't see how Scarlet was at the ballroom back on Kiamer. This thing'll definitely be a problem, and soon. How are you doing on that shield generator?
Chewbacca gave a massive shrug and howled.
Yeah, I hear you. Let's hope we don't get shot anytime soon to test that. The Falcon's been taking a beating lately, and at some point she'll be more patched than ship. Probably just in time to really screw us up.
Chewbacca glanced at something behind Han, and he turned in time to see Bossin wander into the lounge, carrying a flask and four glasses in a wire mesh box. The Mirialan sat at their table with a friendly nod to Chewbacca, and set down his bottle.
Sunim gone already, then?
Scarlet thumped him at Djarik, and he left in a huff,
Han said. He picked the flask up and rotated it in his hands, but there was no marking on it. The metal felt cool to the touch, but not cold enough to have been refrigerated. A thin film of condensation had started to form on it.
That, Bossin said, taking the flask away from him, he's the last of a fantastic brandy I smuggled once. Been carrying it ever since, looking for an excuse. I want you to share it with me, Solo.
Wait, so while we're running around Kiamer, you had a bottle secretly stashed down your pants?
Well, The universe is an unlikely place filled with unlikely people. Most things I'm willing to lose. But there's a few I keep near to hand. No pun intended.
He took three of the glasses, set them on the table, then opened the flask with his teeth and poured. The smell of high-grade rocket fuel filled the air. He pushed one across the table with his steel-capped stump. But Han waved it off.
Don't need a drink.
Oh, boyo, you surely do,
Bossen said, then tossed off his own glass and gave Han a grin. The message was clear. It's not poison. Chewbacca picked his glass up and sniffed at it, nose crinkling up with disgust. Han sighed and raised his glass.
To your health.
Bossen refilled his and tapped it against Han's.
And to your own.
They both drank. To Han's surprise, the brandy was mild and vaguely sweet, while still strong enough to drop a charging bantha in its tracks. Chewbacca put his glass down without drinking and pushed his chair back, trying to get away from the smell.
Ah, that's not bad,
Han said, as Bossen refilled his glass.
Better than not bad, I'd say.
Bossen refilled his own, but didn't drink right away. He just rotated the glass slowly on the tabletop, leaving a small moisture ring on one of the table's black squares.
Solo, we needed to sit down, you and I. As men.
I'm listening.
We know this side of the law. And we know how a friend can become an enemy at the wrong word or the right price.
Han nodded, but said nothing. Chewbacca narrowed his eyes at Bossen, and his heavy shoulder muscles tensed.
I won't apologize for trying to take you to the hut, Bossen said after a moment. It was business, and I'd do it again if all things were the same.
Bossen, you're making me feel all warm and fuzzy inside,
Han said.
Why are you telling me this?
Well,
Bossen said, then paused to drain off his glass.
I want you to know where I stand. I've agreed to help find your magic what's-it, and I'll stand by that. We're allies now. But if it turns out to be wishful thinking and broken promises when we get there, I'll have no choice but to fall back on my old intentions and deliver you to Jabba.
And I'll have no choice but to try and shoot you first,
Han replied. Chewbacca was growling so low in his chest, it was almost subsonic.
I'd expect no less,
Bossen said.
But that's understood. What I came to say was, until that time comes, we're allies, and you can count on my help, and Sunim's. He's a bit dim, but he follows my lead.
Han drank off his glass, then refilled it.
So we're friends again, right up until we find out this thing we're chasing doesn't actually exist, at which point we both immediately try to kill each other.
Aye.
Well, that'll be quite the day.
Then it will.
Han,
Leia said from the corridor. He hadn't heard her coming, but the tone of her voice was worrying. Quiet and just a little frightened.
What's going on?
He asked, walking over to her. She gave Bossen a look, then gestured toward the cockpit with her head. Han followed her there, his own worry growing.
No one can find the survey team, she said when they were alone.
Then they're probably still in the Cymarty system. If it can kill hyperspace travel, could it block the relays too?
Scarlet thinks it could, if Galassian's figured out how to turn it on.
If he's figured it all out, we wouldn't have gotten here.
Leia waved his reassurance away with an impatient gesture.
We know the Empire has the location. We know Galassian's there. Our ships may have jumped into the middle of anything. It was just supposed to be a survey and scouting mission. The escort wasn't armed for a full-scale conflict.
Okay, Han said. What do we do?
Leia sat down, rubbing the bridge of her nose between her thumb and finger while she thought. Han dropped into the pilot's chair and waited. He knew how much was riding on her decisions right now. If it had been up to him, he'd have taken Scarlet straight back to the Rebel fleet, and Leia would have been killed on Kiamer. It made his head hurt even to think about how close he'd come to a major blunder. And now, maybe Luke was in even bigger trouble, and Leia had to weigh that against the needs of the whole rebellion. Han didn't envy her at all.
"I've contacted the Alliance. They agree that the possibility of this technology falling into the Emperor's hands is too great a threat. A massive strike force is being assembled to assault Saimardi directly, and take the relic if we can, destroy it if we can't."
"Sounds like they're taking this seriously," Han said. "If it does turn out to be a wild Gundark chase, we're all gonna look pretty silly."
"At these stakes, we can lose some dignity,"
Han shrugged.
"What about Luke?"
"That's the problem. General Ryken says he can't have the strike force ready for almost a week. And meanwhile, Luke and the others may be trapped. Or worse."
"Then we're going to get him, right?"
"You'd do that?"
Leia asked, frowning.
"Risk the Falcon to jump into a system we might not be able to jump back out of, filled with an unknown number of Imperial ships? You aren't getting heroic on me, are you?"
Han raised his hands in mock surrender and grinned at her.
"I don't believe in heroes. Luke's my friend. I don't like the idea of leaving him there until some general decides the math is right."
Leia stared at him for a moment, searching his face. Then she got up, but stopped at the hatch to say,
"I'll go tell the others."
"Besides,"
Han said, turning back to his console and starting the calculations for a jump to Saimardi,
"Luke owes me a couple. And if I let him get killed, how can I collect?"
"There's the Han I know,"
Leia said to his back. But there was a smile in her voice when she said it. Han sat quietly as the navigation computer finished figuring out the jump, watching the occasional smuggling ship bounce out of the system in a hyperjump or arrive suddenly in a spray of light and other energetic particles as they dropped out of hyperspace. Places like Trundalki would die instantly if the Empire could control hyperspace traffic. It was the kind of backwater outpost that survived only because there were people who needed a way station in a quiet corner of the galaxy. People like him. There were 1,000 places just like it scattered across populated space. All of them waiting, all unaware for the death sentence Saimardi might bring. Voices drifted down the corridor to him. Leia talking to the rest of the crew in the lounge. The voices laughed. Chewbacca's loud honk mixing with the Bothans' chittering and various human sounds. Leia being funny, lightening the moment, getting everyone on the same team. Another ship jumped out of the system. Han wished them a silent good luck. Then almost fell out of his seat when he heard the sound of a throat being cleared behind him.
"You all right?"
Leia asked. Han realized the laugh he'd heard must have been their meeting breaking up.
"Sure, just stretching a bit while I work,"
Han said, then tapped on some controls to look like he was busy. He turned the water recycling system off, then on again.
"Uh-huh, that's just about done."
"You finished with the calculations?"
she asked.
"Yep, pretty much."
She put a hand on his shoulder, leaning close.
"Then punch it, flyboy."
Chapter 24.
The Saimardi system lay along the space lanes that led from the core to the inner rim. Its sun was a small white star with a tendency to throw off flares massive enough to bathe its three closest planets in nuclear plasma. The fourth and fifth planets orbited beyond that, and then a cluster of four gas giants spun beyond them, each with a constellation of moons surrounding it. Jumping into the system behind the largest of these, Han could see the great smear of the galaxy. Billions of stars so far away that their light melted together into one great unbroken band. On the display, the tactical computer drew out the planets and their orbits, the moons, the asteroids, the curving masses of high-energy ejecta from the star. Otherwise, the Falcon ran dark. Only the bare minimum of life support and computational resources. If he'd done it right, they wouldn't look like anything more interesting than a rock with a high concentration of metals.
"Nice placement, old friend," Boston said. "Just here, we're in three different kinds of shadow."
"Complex systems make for lots of cover," Han said. "And more things to run into."
"Trade-offs," Boston said. "Always trade-offs."
Chewbacca moaned, gesturing toward the glowing planets and moons.
"Yeah, I see them,"
Han said. Leia ducked in behind them. The light from the display painted her in shades of red and black.
"What have we got?"
she asked.
"Passive sensors are picking up something in orbit around the fifth planet," Han said. "We don't have great resolution yet, but it's about the right size for a Star Destroyer."
Leia's expression went grim.
"Well, we knew there'd be something."
"All respect," Boston said. "I was hoping for something smaller."
"So was I, but I was expecting we'd see more,"
Leia said.
"What do the active scanners show?"
"They show little dark circles where I haven't turned them on," Han said. "Seems to me that announcing that we're here with an active signal might not be a great plan."
"Could disguise them a bit," Boston said. "Shift the spectrum. Bounce the signal off the atmosphere of that sixth planet for scatter."
Chewbacca snarled and howled, but he also started setting it up. Han sat forward in the pilot's chair, his fingers laced together. The display showed that the gas giant and one of its moons would be blocking them from the Imperial ship's sight for another few minutes at least. He leaned forward and thumbed up the hyperdrive. A whir and hum filled the ship, but even before he looked at the readouts, he knew. It sounded wrong.
"What are you doing?"
Leia snapped as he shut it back down.
"Seeing what our options are, your worship," Han said. "It's not looking like tactical retreat's one of them. Whatever that thing is, it's affecting our hyperdrive."
"That confirms it, then,"
Leia said.
"They found it, and they found out how to turn it on."
"And so we're not getting out of this system unless we get down there and turn it off."
"Not unexpected," Boston said. "But still a bit disappointing. Hey, boyo, at least your magic gizmo exists, eh?"
"At least I won't be shooting you in the back today," he meant.
The communications panel flickered to announce an incoming signal. Not from a hyperwave relay, though. Those channels were coming in as unstable and wild as the hyperdrive itself. Instead, it was coming in on standard radio. A weak signal, but using a rebellion encryption code. Han felt the sudden release of tension in his chest that he hadn't even known was there. He scooped up the headset and opened the channel.
"This is the Millennium Falcon," Han said. "Who've we got out there?"
"Han,"
Luke said. The relief in the boy's voice was enough to set Han grinning.
"What are you doing here?"
Han smiled at Leia and pointed to his earpiece. Leia's eyes were bright, and her relief showed in the way she held herself.
"Looking for you, among other things. What's your status?"
"We're grounded right now. When we got here, we ran into a patrol of Imperial fighters,"
Luke said, and then paused.
"It got a little hot."
"Do the bad guys know where you are?"
"No,"
Luke said.
"We took the fighters that were left and skimmed past one of those solar flares, then killed power. The TIEs looked around for a while after that, but then they stopped. I think they assumed we're all dead."
Leia pointed to the co-pilot's headset. Chewbacca growled and whined, shaking his head in refusal.
"I'll give it back,"
Leia said, her hand still out imperiously. Chewbacca coughed and handed it over. Leia put the headset on and adjusted the strap to her much smaller skull.
Luke, it's Leia. How badly is the Force hurt? Where's Wedge?
We've got 7 fighters still ready to go. We lost Burless and Tren in the first pass. Dawis is still here, but his altitude stabilizer's shot. Wedge is helping him try to get it working right now. I think we could fix it if we had the parts. But we can't get the hyperdrives to work. None of us.
We know, kid, Han said. That's why we're here.
Is it some kind of new Imperial weapon?
Luke asked.
No, Han said at the same moment Leia answered.
Not yet.
Well, whatever it is, we've been trying to transmit a warning and tell everyone to stay away from here.
Scarlet poked her head into the cockpit, and Han held up his palm. The Bothan's bleating voice and the R3's chirrups and whirs came behind her, a chorus of inquiry and concern. The Falcon wasn't built to have that many people all wanting to be in the middle of things together.
Where are you, kid? We'll come have a conversation in person.
There's an ice cave on the second gas giant's 3rd moon. It's even got a little atmosphere.
Sounds glorious, Han said. Hang tight, and we'll be right there.
I'll tell the guys not to shoot you,
Luke said. Han could hear the smile in the boy's voice.
Was I ever that young?
He thought. Han dropped the connection.
So they've got it already,
Scarlet said.
It can't be that straightforward,
Leia replied, handing the headpiece back to Chewbacca. Han noted that she didn't put it back to the Wookiee's size.
If they didn't think it was a risk to be nearby, they'd have more than one Star Destroyer standing guard over it. And if our hyperwave relays are down, it's a safe bet theirs are, too. My guess is they found it, whatever it is, and they're still trying to figure out how to make it work.
Bossin shifted to give Scarlet enough room in the cockpit.
Interesting day this will be.
Do we think it's still on the planet?
Leia asked.
Or would they have taken it up to the destroyer itself?
I don't know, Scarlet said. Galassian doesn't talk about the size of the thing. If it's working...
Chewbacca howled at Han and nodded toward the tactical display. Han squinted at it as a pale blue arc appeared between the planets.
I'd assume it's on the planet, though. Whatever resources it needs to function are down there.
No, Han said to Chewbacca. The burn's too long. I want us running as quiet as we can here. Take it up a third of a degree and we can slingshot around that big moon there. Make it to Luke faster, and there's less chance of the Star Destroyer seeing us.
You think they'll have forces on the ground then?
Leia asked.
A science team, at least, Scarlet said. Guard forces, too. Galassian's initial survey showed several different strata of ruins, so I'd expect that it's somewhere under the planetary surface.
That's not a bad path,
Bossin said, leaning past Han to point at the display.
Well, there's a better one if you aim for this moon here instead. Longer path, but faster. And you don't spend so much time exposed to the Star Destroyer because of these asteroid fields in the middle.
Chewbacca howled and grunted.
What did he say?
Bossin asked.
Stop!
Han shouted. The conversations paused. From the lounge, the R3 whistled.
If you aren't me or Chewie, please get out of the cockpit. Now!
The others scowled or smirked, but they left.
When they were gone, Han ran his fingers through his hair.
We've got too many people on this ship.
Chewbacca shrugged, adjusted his headpiece, tried it on, then adjusted it again. He growled conversationally.
No, Han said. There's only one person in charge. Me.
Chewbacca shrugged again. This time, his headpiece fit. The ice cave was as wide as a hangar deck. 8 X-Wings squatted at the back beside a surveying ship with scorch marks down its sides and blistered metal along its landing gear. The emergency lights on the ice beside them threw wide shadows against the pale blue ceiling. None of the fighting ships was unscathed. Long black char marks streaked their wings and sides, and one of them had a pool of frozen green coolant on the ice under one wing actuator. But the pilots in their dirty orange jumpsuits all waved cheerfully enough as Han brought the Falcon gently down beside them. As Han walked down the cargo ramp, Luke trotted forward to meet them, R2-D2 rolling behind him. The kid was grinning just as if they weren't trapped in a dangerous system, badly outnumbered, with limited food supplies and no way to call for help or know when or if support was coming. Chewbacca's roar echoed softly in the thin air as he lifted Luke up off his feet, tossing him lightly in the air. Scarlet, Bossin, Leia, and Sunim followed behind.
I'm glad to see you too, Luke said, patting Chewbacca's arm. What are you guys doing out here anyway? I thought you were off in the Corps getting a spy back to the fleet.
We were, Han said. Scarlet Hark, Luke Skywalker. Luke, this is the spy.
Nice to meet you, Luke said. Likewise,
Scarlet said with a smile. R2-D2 squealed, and she nodded to the droid.
And you as well.
That, Han went on, is Bossin Ray. He's a bounty hunter who promised Jabba he'd bring me in, and the Bothan is Sunim, his pilot. I wouldn't trust either too much.
Oh,
Luke said, frowning.
Any friend of Solo's?
Bossin said with a nod, and then didn't finish the sentence.
Is he on our side?
Luke asked.
Not really, Han said. And the R3 used to belong to a man named Hunter Moss, but Bossin killed him. Now, I don't know. Now it's just on my ship.
I feel like I've missed a lot. Luke, I need to speak to Wedge,
Leia said as the pair embraced. Han stepped back, pretending to look at the power leads on the Falcon. He caught Scarlet's glance, gauging him, and ignored it.
Right here, ma'am,
Wedge Antilles said, striding up. Han hadn't seen him approach, but the man looked tired. His flight suit was stained by grease and what looked like engine coolant.
Commander Antilles, we have to get down to the planet,
Leia said, stepping back from Luke, but keeping one hand on his forearm.
The thing that's broken your hyperdrives and communication relays is down there.
Gonna be hard,
Han said.
Won't be that hard, Bossin said. Just need a distraction, as I see it. And here's one now, eh?
He gestured at the fighters. Leia's expression went perfectly calm, blank. Han realized she was weighing the options. The chances of safely reaching the surface of Psi-Marty V against the danger to the fighters. To Luke.
No problem, Wedge said. We'll divide into two wings. One can come up from Sunward, the other can come in from the gas giants. If we time it right, no one will notice one extra ship dropping in on the far side of the planet.
And then what?
Then we win,
Luke said. Han laughed.
You took out one space station with a lucky shot because I was there running interference for you, kid, he said. Don't let it go to your head.
I didn't say it'd be easy, Luke grinned.
That was the thing about Luke. The way he said it, it almost sounded possible.
All right, Leia said. We need to move quickly. The ship with the bad attitude stabilizer?
That one, Wedge said, pointing. I've been working at it for hours, but we don't have the parts. I'd take any help I could get putting her back on her feet.
Han,
Leia said.
Do we have something that'll patch that up?
Han shrugged. Let me take a look at it. I'll see what I can manage.
Thank you,
she said, and her voice was a little thick.
She knows how dangerous this is, he thought. She knows that she's asking the kid to risk death, or any of the others, maybe all. grand causes, he thought. All in the name of grand causes.
But he had to give her this much. She was willing to risk the people she cared about, just as quickly as the ones in Kiamer that she barely even knew. Han could admire that, but it didn't make him comfortable.
Come on, then, Bossen said. I'll give you a hand. I've still got the one.
All right, thanks,
Luke said, and then to Leia.
Why is he here?
Han, Bossen, and Chewbacca tramped across the thick blue ice of the cave, their shadows shifting around them as they passed the emergency lights. Bossen's expression was unreadable. The fighter, when they reached it, wasn't as bad as Han had feared. The stabilizer was fused, but it was a standard design. Han could pull any of a dozen from one piece of equipment on the Falcon or another. The pilot was a young man, even more fresh-faced than Luke. Han hadn't been sure that was possible. Chewbacca hauled himself up on the fighter's wing, while Han and Bossen got a welding torch and soldering alloy. Leia moved among the fighter pilots, talking and asking questions. Seeing her among them reminded him of the halls and gardens of Kiev. This was what she did. It was what gave her power. If she wound up running the galaxy, it would be because of moments like this one, asking for the loyalty of people who had no reason to be loyal to her. People like him.
Well, old friend, it's a good day, Bossen said.
How do you figure that?
Han asked.
Scarlet's hyperdrive killer exists, doesn't it? The chances of you and me gunning each other down have fallen a notch. At least that's how I see it.
We're about to throw all 8 X-Wings at a Star Destroyer so that we can sneak down into the ruins of some xenophobic dead species civilization and try to steal this thing from who knows how many Imperial troops and scientists. And that's a good day?
Bossen pursed his lips.
Well, put it that way, it sounds less so, but better than it could have been for us.
It's thinking like that that put you in trouble with Jabba in the first place.
Ah, well, let this all play out well, and it'll be him who's got trouble with us, eh?
One of the fighter pilots whooped, jumping up to the X-Wing's cockpit and striking a pose while the men around him laughed. Han couldn't say quite why the sight left a sour taste in his mouth.
Come on, he said. Let's get this over with.
Chapter 25. The Falcon flew quietly through the vast emptiness, moving faster than a comet, but small. Han used the maneuvering thrusters lightly, shifting the ship behind whatever debris he could find and pushing to keep the bulk of the planet between him and the Star Destroyer. Long-range fighter patrols might still reach above the planet's curving horizon. He couldn't do anything about that. The best he could manage was to be small and fast and get down to the planet's surface quickly when the time came.
Galassian's notes put the temple's coordinates just south of the equator,
Scarlet said.
Yeah. That's actually in the middle of an ocean,
Han said.
I'm pretty sure he transposed these 2 readings.
Why do you think so?
Scarlet asked.
Because that would put it more or less directly under the Star Destroyer,
Han said.
Anything dangerous or inconvenient just seems more likely to be true.
There's a cynical worldview,
Scarlet said.
Just being realistic.
The small blue-white sun touched the edge of the planet. Great sheets of light spilled out, caught in billions of motes of dust that surrounded the swamp world. The debris of some shattered moon, the still uncaptured remnants of the cloud that had spawned the system, or the relic of the inward-facing Kakaibak civilization. Han couldn't say, but it was pretty to look at. And then there, in the center of the light, a speck of darkness. The Imperial Star Destroyer hove into view, and Han tensed. His impulse was to kick the engines into a fast burn, trusting to speed and maneuverability. Restraining himself wasn't easy,
did it, letting the Falcon follow its trajectory like a thrown rock hissing through the darkness. No alarms had sounded yet. There was no sign they'd been noticed. Chewbacca grunted and moaned.
I know, Han said. I see it too. We'll try to fix it when we get down there.
Fix what?
Scarlet asked.
We've still got a coolant leak from where Bossin hit us with the tracking beacon, Han said. It's not bad. We'll be fine.
Scarlet took in a deep breath, letting it out slowly between her teeth.
You know, she said, I love this part.
This part? Han said. Really?
Really, she said. They're right there, right in front of us, and they don't see the threat. If we do it right, they never will. We'll slide in, do what we came to do, and by the time they understand what's happened, it'll be too late.
Maybe, Han said. Or maybe they'll have moved the shaft we expected to find, and we'll wind up climbing a transmission tower while half the stormtroopers in the core try to shoot us down. It goes that way, too, sometimes.
And I loved that part, too,
Scarlet said ruefully.
This is why I could never be an accountant.
Something glittered off the Star Destroyer's bow. A wing of TIE fighters starting their patrol, or else ending it.
What about you?
Scarlet asked.
You have to enjoy the fear, too. Just a little?
Not the fear, Han said. I just like being a little smarter than the next guy.
That's all it is?
That, and I really hate paying taxes.
The comm flickered red and came to life.
Red Wave 1, this is Red Wave 2,
Luke said.
Do you copy? Red Wave 2, this is Red Wave 1,
Wedge replied.
I've got you loud and clear.
We're in place and starting our approach, Red Wave 1. You should proceed when ready. Understood, Red Wave 2. We're going in.
The Star Destroyer, black against the brightness of the sun, began to shift, turning its vast bulk. Glitters of silver and darkness spiraled out around it, and then tiny red and orange flashes of laser fire. The battle had begun. Han fired up the engines.
Hold on back there,
he shouted.
This could get bumpy.
The R3 whistled and shrieked.
What's the problem?
Han yelled.
The droid's not clamped down, boyo,
Bossin said, at the same time that Leia shouted.
The restraint's broken.
Will someone get it secured?
Han said.
I can't do everything here.
I'll take care of it,
Scarlet said, and hurried back toward the lounge. At the Star Destroyer's starboard bow, something flickered. A ship dying. Han couldn't tell if it had been one of the enemies or one of their own. Han tapped his fingertips against the console. Another rapid flurry of bright green fire stuttered against the stars.
They're shooting at the kid, Chewie.
Chewbacca whined and bared his teeth.
I know that's what we wanted. It's all going just according to plan. But they're trying to kill the kid up there, and we're down here. You know what I want to do, Chewie? I want to fire up the turrets, get up there, and help out.
The Wookiee's sigh was confirmation enough. The Falcon's sensors lit up, warning them of the approaching atmosphere. Han tested his fingers on the forward deflector shield's controls, waiting until the last second to bring up power. The less time they spent under power, the less likely it was the fighters would come down. A few more seconds, and they'd be beyond the reach of the TIE fighters and into the thick soup of air where they could find out if the Empire had any anti-aircraft batteries in place.
Red Wave 2, this is Red Wave 6. I've got one on my tail.
I see you, 6,
Luke shouted.
I'm coming in. I'm coming in.
The radio cut out as the first atmosphere hit the ship. Han clicked on the shields and angled hard down. The Falcon bucked and kicked under him, sending his belly into his throat, and then his boot, and then his throat again. Superheated air streamed off the shields like foam at the crest of a wave.
What's the problem, boyo?
Bossin called from the lounge.
No problem,
Han shouted back.
It's supposed to be like this.
Slowly, and then all too fast,
the landmasses of Cymarti V rose up toward them. To his right, a vast mud-colored sea glittered and shone. Red waters hugged the coastlines, fading into the deep brown middle water. On the land, an answering ocean of leaves rippled in the wind. As the Falcon drew nearer to the ground, huge pillars rose up above the jungle canopy, their dun-colored sides ridged like stone eroded by centuries of rain. As Han passed over one, he saw a black swarm of insects curling out from the tower like living smoke. The waving leaves grew closer, larger. Any one of them would have been wide enough to cover the whole ship. And they rose and fell gently in a breeze he couldn't feel. Just as they came even with the tops of the trees, a huge green-black shape rose from below. Han had the impression of vast, steely teeth and a dozen bright red eyes. And then the Falcon was past it. The first of the massive leaves smashed into the ship, popping the Falcon up on one side almost 30 degrees. The Bothan screamed.
Is it still supposed to be like this?
Bossen shouted.
Not quite,
Han replied, and pulled back hard on the controls. The ship shuddered, slowed, and dipped down again. The leaves beat against the screen until Han was sure he heard it crack. He went down deeper, dropping beneath the canopy to where the massive tree trunks rose like buildings from the floor below. His eyes fixed on the proximity sensor array. His hands moved fast, and the ship ducked among the huge black trunks. Something popped, sparks flying out of the console above him.
Chewie, was that something important?
Chewbacca howled in complaint.
Well, could you find out? I'm kind of busy here.
He pulled up the map overlay and fed it through the sensors. Galassian's coordinates glowed green, 12 kilometers ahead. Four clicks before that, there was a rough clearing big enough to put the Falcon down.
I can do this,
Han said to himself.
Not a problem.
The proximity alarm blared, and he threw the ship hard to right, the massive trunk skidding by the Falcon close enough to touch. Chewbacca howled.
Thank you for your input,
Han said.
Just hold on.
The canopy didn't open, but it thinned. The ground below was a mass of roots like thousands of gigantic gnarled fingers twined around one another. The jungle with a permanent death grip on itself. Han lowered the ship slowly, watching the altitude readings with skepticism until the actual size of the root cluster became clear.
Everyone all right back there?
Where did you learn how to fly a ship?
Leia shouted.
What are you talking about?
Han said with a grin.
I'm brilliant.
The ship touched down, shifted, canted at 15 degrees, and came to rest. Han shut down the engines with a flip of his wrists and unstrapped himself. Chewbacca rose and tugged at the still-smoking panel of the overhead console. Han scowled up at the relay. A small blue flame danced around the blackened metal.
We're gonna want another one of those,
he said. Chewbacca's growl was short and percussive. In the lounge area, the passengers were in different stages of recovering themselves. Bossen and Leia were both finding their feet on the Falcon's canted deck. Sunim was still sitting, his fists wrapped around the straps and his eyes wide. Han thought the Bothan was trembling. Only Scarlet was moving confidently, stepping across the lounge to the storage blocks, her cheeks warm and her eyes bright with pleasure.
Bad news is it's going to be a little walk,
Han said.
Good news is, no one shot at us on the way down.
That's how you fly when you're not under fire, then?
Bossen said.